I remember the first time I heard that song. Very powerful. I'm reminded today as we were singing it about how have you ever seen anybody that's or anything that's fake? Usually when something's fake, where is it faked? On the outside, because that's what people see, right? And that song reminded me that I need to be genuine from the inside all the way out. And if I'm real on the inside, then what's on the outside will be real too. Because when we try to fake it and we just put on some praise and worship on the outside, but it's not coming from the inside, it's not praise and worship. It's just racket. Just racket. Wow, thank you for that song, guys. I appreciate that. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. We're going to look at a passage, Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. We're talking about essential church. And we've been talking about it for several weeks. We've got today and then one more week to kind of wrap this up. But we've talked about to be an essential church. That is a church that is essential to people's lives. Not just this organization, but the idea of church, the idea of a body of believers is important to people's lives. And what it takes to make that happen, one is it needs to be simple. It doesn't need to be real complex and complicated where you have to jump through a whole bunch of hoops and you always have to wonder, am I doing the right thing at the right time? You know, we need to make it as simple as possible because the gospel is really simple. The next thing we looked at is deepen. We need to be able to go deep in God's word, study his word, teach and preach from his word, and uncover the deep truths that are in God's word for us. And not just stay. An analogy that's used often is we need to move from milk to meat at some point. Right? There's a baby back here I saw this morning with a bottle of milk. I thought, wow, it's a precious, precious baby. But someday that baby's going to need to move from milk to some solid food, right? And then once the solid food, you know, like the you put the peas and green beans and asparagus in a blender and that's what it kind of looks like. That kind of stuff, you move from that, from the milk to that kind of stuff, you know, out of the jar and stuff. And then you move to solid foods, meat. Well, that's what we need to do in our spiritual lives, in our study of God's word. We need to move and progress to better nutritional stuff, the deeper stuff, okay? And then today we're going to talk about expectations. Now, if you recall, a few weeks ago I warned you about today. If you were here, I warned you about today. I said, wear your steel-toed boots today because there's going to be a whole lot of stomping going on, okay? So I hope you're ready because we're going to talk about expectations. Expectations that we need to have of one another because God certainly expects things from us. We need to expect things from one another. In Acts chapter 2, I want to read this passage, verses 2 through 42 through 47. Talking about the fellowship of believers, the church, the New Testament church that had just been established. It says in 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to everyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Lots of stuff in there. Lots of stuff. They were every day they met. They, listen to this, Every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Reminds us of that song we just sang. From the inside out, it was genuine. It was sincere. Glad and sincere hearts. They didn't just say, oh, we're glad to have you today to eat all my bread that I've got here in my household. No, they were glad and sincere from the inside out. Expectations. We can learn some things from this passage about expectations. One, they devoted themselves. The very first phrase, they devoted themselves. When you look at what devoted means, well, there's some expectations that go along with that. Healthy churches, we want to be a healthy church, do we not? I'm not saying that we're sick and ailing, but we need to always, just like that baby needs to progress in its nourishment, we need to continue to progress in our genuine health of our church. Healthy churches have a healthy balance of reasonable expectations. Okay? They expect things from the members. You certainly expect things of your pastor, don't you? You're right. And you should. But we also need to expect things from one another. We've been looking at the reason I've been studying out of this book, Essential Church, written by Tom and Sam Rayner, father and son, Tom and Sam. Essential Church, where the American church, actually, the church in general, not just in America, but the church in general is facing decline, and it's just, it's not healthy, it's not growing, it's not, the population is exploding, and the churches are not keeping up with their growth. Why is that? Well, that's what this book goes into, and it says basically it's because people have decided that church is not essential to their lives. It's not necessary. There's other things that take my time. And so just real quickly, I've read this several times, but maybe somebody needs to hear it again today. The top 10 reasons people drop out of church. I wanted a break from church. I just simply wanted a break. Number 2, church members seem too judgmental or hypocritical. That's true. Because we do. You know, I was talking with somebody earlier. Church is not a showcase for the saints. It's a hospital for the sinners. That's right. That's right. It's not a place where we come and show off our righteousness. It's a place where we come to show our work to the Lord and allow Him to take that big pink eraser that Mark talked about and take our stuff away. That's what we're here for. Number 3, I moved to college and I stopped attending church. Number 4, work responsibilities prevented me from attending. Number 5, I moved too far away from the church to continue to attend. Number 6, I became too busy, though I still wanted to attend. Number 7, I didn't feel connected to the people in my church. Number 8, I disagreed with the church's stance on political or social issues. Number 9, I chose to spend more time with friends outside of church. And number 10, I was only going to church to please others. I wonder what would happen if we took that same list. Instead of using church, we use jobs. How many of y'all have a job? If you have a job, raise your hand. Okay. A lot of people have jobs. A lot of people with jobs. That's good. Listen to this. I simply wanted to take a break from my job. People at my job seemed judgmental or hypocritical, so I just didn't go. I moved to college, so I stopped going to my job. Other responsibilities prevented me from going to work. I moved too far away from my job to continue to work. I became too busy, although I still wanted to work. I just didn't feel connected with people at my workplace. I disagreed with the stance that my employers took. I chose to spend more time with friends outside of my workplace. I was only working to please others. Now, obviously the job scenario I presented has the power of the paycheck, right? I mean, you don't go to work, guess what? If you choose to not go to work, they can certainly choose to say, we're not going to pay you this week, or ever again for that matter, maybe even, right? Well, the church, we don't have that luxury. We don't get to say, because you're not coming to church, we're not going to do whatever. We don't do that. It's not really an option, but we can change our attitude. We can have an attitude change about church. We can move towards having higher expectations of one another. That's where we're headed. Most of recent church history in America has been one of low expectation churches. Because the local church is made up of mostly volunteers, leaders have been hesitant to create an atmosphere of expectations. Why do you think that is? Why do you think church often has the idea that, well, we'll just take whatever we can get? Because we're dependent on volunteers, and if they're willing to volunteer, we'll just, whatever they're willing to do, we'll take. Really, that's churches get stuck in that because nobody else is going to volunteer, right? Nobody else volunteers, and so finally this one volunteers, although they're not very good at it, we'll take it. And that's where churches begin to get in trouble, with no expectations. Expectations have not been communicated to the members because we don't want to make them upset. What happens if members get upset? If we start expecting them to do stuff, they get upset, what are they going to do? They might just leave. And then what are we going to do? You see where churches kind of get into that line of thinking? So we'll compromise on our expectations in order to keep people here. But the truth is what we found out and what these guys have done through their research, that's not keeping people in churches. The compromising, the watering down, we'll just take whatever we can get, that's not keeping people in churches. So that's not even working. So we don't need to keep doing that. If it's not working anyway. Most people see church as a low priority or even optional. But becoming a high expectation church is vital to becoming an essential church. We must look at expectations if we're going to be an essential part of people's lives. Okay? God has expectations of us, right? So we need to have expectations from others. Not that we need to expect people to confess their sins to us, or not, you know, we don't have the same expectations towards us that God has towards Him. But we need to expect one another to live up to God's expectations. You see the difference? I must tell you that this part of my sermon that I'm about to read off, I'm about to read off several snippets to you. And this came afterwards, after I was finished with my sermon and I had it all typed up and printed up and in my Bible and ready to go this morning. God started hammering me with these things. Donna can tell you I was in the office. I was adding stuff in there the other day because I couldn't sleep. I woke up early. And when I say early, it's like 4:30, 5 o'clock, and I couldn't go back to sleep. All this stuff kept rolling through my head. So listen here. God has expectations of us, so we ought to expect things from one another. That's what's called accountability. We need to hold one another accountable to God's expectations. We say things like, well, I'm only human, or I'm not perfect. And we use that as an excuse to not be perfect. But yet, what does God say? God says, be holy as I am holy. He doesn't say, you're only human, so I don't expect much of you. He says, be holy, because I'm holy. So we need to expect one another to live holy lives. The early Christians were devoted. We read about that. They were devoted. What did they do? They were steady. They met daily. Every time the place was open, they were meeting. They were hanging together. They were breaking bread together. They were eating together. They were fellowship, but they stayed together. They read, they prayed, they studied, they listened to the apostles' teachings. They were together as much as they could. They were devoted. Guess what? We should expect one another to be devoted. We expect the church to be there for us in times of need. When we're sick, when we're hurt, maybe even when we're having celebrations. Right? How many of y'all expect that the church should be there for you, be there for you in those times? Yes, we do. But yet, we often think that there's no expectations of us to support the church. Especially through our service, through our devotedness, through our giving. I'm going to tell you, a lot of folks will say, well, the church owes me this. They need to do this. They're not doing this for me. I need this. The church needs to be there for me in this time. But a lot of those people are not supporting the church with anything. Service, tithes, prayer, commitment, devotion. Is it wrong for us to expect one another to support the church? No. We need to support the church in all of those facets. God calls us to support the church. We ought to expect one another to honor God, even with our money. We ought to expect each other to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Didn't God tell us to do that? Absolutely. So we should expect one another to do that. We ought to expect each other to put God first in all areas of our lives. What happens, y'all? What happens when you set expectations? We all set expectations. We have expectations in our marriages, in our relationships, in our job, in our playtime, in our recreation. We have expectations. We expect certain things. What happens if we set expectations high? Come on, somebody tell me. What happens if you set high expectations? Okay, you get disappointed. But let me ask you this. What kind of outcomes do you get when you set high expectations versus low expectations? If I'm expecting low, what am I going to get? I'm probably going to get low. If I expect high, what am I going to get? Hopefully higher. But yet, there's that truth that was just brought up that yes, we do face disappointments. If we set high expectations, we will be disappointed. Do you think God is ever disappointed? Certainly He is. Does He still love us anyway? Absolutely. Absolutely. But expectations should be set high. We've talked about why people leave the church. I've read that. You could probably quote or at least remember several of those reasons. But listen, here's a list of why people stay in church. Okay? Let's move to the positive. Let's look at why people do stay in church. Number one, church is a vital part of my relationship with God. I need my fix. It's important to my relationship. I need to come where I can gather with other believers. I need to come where I can express my praise through song. I need to come where I can hear the teaching. Another one, I wanted church to help guide my decisions in everyday life. People recognize that there are values in the church that help govern moral lives, good lives. That the things that I will learn in church will help me to make good decisions in my life. Here's another one. I felt that church was helping me become a better person. I certainly hope that a relationship with Christ and the fellowship with other believers helps us to grow into being better people. I was committed to the purpose and the work of the church. That's why people stay in church, because they were committed to the purpose and the work of the church. Of course, before you can be committed to the purpose and the work of the church, you have to know what that purpose is, right? What's the purpose of us, of our church here at Dolan Baptist Church? To love God, love each other, and to reach others for Christ. The Bible tells us if we'll do those things, everything else takes care of itself. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Go ye therefore into all the world. If we'll do those things, everything else will take care of itself. If we love God, we're going to study more. If we love God, we're going to learn all we can about Him, right? If we love one another, we're going to treat each other right. We're not going to lie and cheat and steal. We're not going to backbite and argue and fuss if we love people. Here's another one. Church activities were a big part of my life. Listen to this. The role of church activities in different generations of churchgoers is fascinating. For the builder generation, those born before 1946, if you were born before 1946, let me see your hands. Okay. If you don't know, raise your hand. For the builder generation, those born before 1946, one was active in church to demonstrate loyalty to the church. Okay? So if that's you, you know what I'm talking about. You're in church because that's how you demonstrated your loyalty to the church. Activity was thus tantamount to obedience. But for younger adults today, church activity is the consequence of obedience. If the church is essential to one's life, if the church has a clearly understood purpose, and if the church is truly a missional in all that it does, then the young adults will be likely to be more active. But that same young adult would rarely consider activity as an act of obedience. Activity is the consequence of the churches being a meaningful part of one's life. I'm not going to do it just because I'm supposed to. I'm going to do it because it's making a difference. Okay? Another reason. The church helped me through a difficult time in my life. How many of you have had difficult times in your life? Yeah, lots of hands. How many times in those difficult times has the church been there for you and helped you? Good. I'm glad. I'm glad for that, because that's what church is for. That's one of the reasons we exist. It's a support, a body of believers. We gather together and we love on each other, right? We need that. I was afraid of living life without spiritual guidance. That's a good reason to stay in church. I was afraid that if I wasn't in church and getting the spiritual guidance I needed, then I'm just going to mess everything up. One of the most common and clear signs of higher expectation church is the encouragement of members to move into small groups. The small group connects people relationally, something that's really hard to do in a worship service. I mean, here in this meeting today, right now, it's hard to really see somebody's thoughts across the room or to converse and really discuss an issue or topic. It's hard to do that in this kind of setting. But that's why we have those smaller group settings, because that's where the relationships can really be built. And then once those relationships are established, the likelihood of that person dropping out of church is greatly reduced, because it becomes, guess what? Essential. Because of the relationships that I've built, and those relationships are usually built in small groups, so that's why we're going to talk about small groups. Research shows that small group people are 5 times more likely to be active in church than those who just attend worship services alone. Research shows that if you're involved in a small group, you're 5 times more likely to stay involved in church than as if you just come to the worship service. So I'm encouraging you to get involved in small groups. With that new small group that we talked about starting on Sunday nights, that's a small group. get involved in it. There's still room. There's a couple more spots on there. And if we need to make a couple more spots after that, we'll do that. That's not a problem. Small groups. We have other types of times. Our Sunday evening service that we have here really is a small group. We're all down here on the floor, and we discuss, we open up the scripture, we read, and then we discuss it, we talk about it, we get each other's input. Wednesday night is another example of that small group. Prayer meeting, we gather together, we have a Bible study, we ask questions, we talk, we discuss it, we have a time of prayer. That's a small group. Sunday school is a small group. That Bible study time right before this service, it's important. It's a small group. You can have discussion. You can talk about things. Relationships are built during those times. Men and women's ministry is the same way. Find something and get involved in it. Why should we have high expectations? Because it makes a difference. And I'm going to read a testimony of just how, what kind of difference it can make. The author of this, one of the authors of this book, Tom Rainer, he says, "I have watched the generational transition from two perspectives. I observed my parents' faithful church attendance, and for the most part, they were at church whenever the doors were open. They didn't, to my knowledge, question why the church did what it did. They just showed up. They were intensely loyal to the institution. They were the ones from before 1947, because that's what they did. As a baby boomer born in 1955, I have some of that same institutional loyalty as my parents. When Sam, Art, and Jess, his children, were born, I had three boys at church whenever the doors were open. I was a businessman before I became a vocational minister, and I typically responded positively to the requests of the pastor and staff. But my loyalty was not blind. I began to wonder why my church did some of the things it did. For example, I began to dread Sunday evening worship. My wife and I would work to the point of frustration to get the preschool boys ready for church on Sunday morning. When we came home from the services, we were ready to eat and crash, but at 5 p.m., guess what? We would have to have the boys ready again for another worship service at 6 o'clock. I summoned the courage to ask my pastor one day why we had Sunday evening worship services. Though I did not tell him, I could discern that he put little effort into that second message of the day. It may have been reruns of some sermons he had at a previous church. The music wasn't strong either. It seemed like we had people singing in the evening service that we would never hear on Sunday morning. In my naivete, I asked my pastor why we had that evening service. I don't remember his response, but I know it did not make sense to me. I remember the look on his face. It was as if a failure to attend Sunday evening service was the eighth mortal sin. How dare I ask the question of why church was done the way it's always been done? You see, my parents would not have asked the question. I asked the question, but I continued to attend. My boys, however, would not have even asked the question. They would just stop attending because they didn't see a clear and meaningful purpose to what they were doing. Such has been the generational transition. And that reason, more than any other, may explain the increased rate of young adults dropping out of the church. They simply don't think the church matters anymore. It's just not essential. Perhaps most churches in America are irrelevant to the young people of today. They don't understand why churches do what they do. And if the church does not offer a plausible explanation, they just leave. They will simply not waste their time in a church that is just going through the motions, because institutional loyalty is dead. Why are adults looking for, what are adults looking for in church today? They're looking for a church that is making a difference in the lives of its members. They're looking for a church that is making a difference in the community and around the world. And they're looking for a church where they can make a difference. sometimes before people can make a difference, they need to be expected to make a difference. So guess what? I hope we have high expectations of one another. I hope we have expectations that we will be that will make a difference in people's lives, not just as an institution as a whole, but individually, that we will be investing somewhere, somehow, sometime in somebody's life. I believe that we need to have certain expectations of one another here at Dolan Baptist Church. I believe that we need to expect us to be devoted. I believe we need to expect one another to be present. I think that's an expectation we should have of one another. And when somebody's not here, we don't harass them and say, "Where were you on Sunday?" But maybe we need to call and say, "Hey, I noticed you weren't there on Sunday. Is everything all right? Is everything cool? Y'all okay? You're on vacation? Man, I hope you're having a great time. Look forward to seeing you at church when you get back." There's a difference there. We're not hounding people, but we certainly want people to know that we expect people to be here, because this is where those relationships are formed. It's where we grow. It's how we grow, by opening God's Word and studying it. I believe another expectation we need to have of one another is that we're going to be involved in a small group study. There's all those options I gave to you a while ago. There's many options. Find one. Find one and get involved. Different times of the week. There's some on Sunday, Wednesday, Monday. There's enough options there. You can find one and get involved and begin to build those relationships with other people. Another expectation that, listen to this, I think that we need to expect each other to be also to serve. I think that it's not unreasonable. I think it's a good thing that we should expect each person, each member of Dolan Baptist Church, to be involved in at least one ministry. Maybe you don't know exactly what that means, but I'll give you an example. Maybe you're involved with the music ministry. Maybe you're involved in teaching a Sunday school class or teaching a Bible study. Maybe you're involved with helping with the youth or with the children's ministry. Maybe you're involved with the prayer team that meets on Tuesday mornings. Maybe you're involved with there's so many other things. The guys working the sound back there, that's a ministry, and they're involved in that, and that's important. There are so many other things. I told you we need somebody to run some video equipment. I still have a need for that. Maybe that's you this morning. But I think it's a good thing that we should expect people to be served, to serve. And then the fourth thing is, I think we as church members should expect one another to support the church through the giving of our tithes. You know, Jesus spoke, that's the second hottest topic in the New Testament from Jesus' teaching, is on money. Did you know that? The first one is on salvation, but the second's about money, because money is close to our heart. We keep it tight, don't we? We don't like to turn loose of it. I think we need to have those expectations of one another here at the church. And if we have those expectations and people know what to expect, then they'll stay involved. They'll get involved because they know what's expected of them. We don't need to just say, "Oh, well, I'll just take whatever I can get," because we're not growing. We're not challenging people to grow through that. And that's not why God created the church. God didn't create the church just to say, "Well, we'll just take whatever we can get." God said, "No, gather together and be devoted." The body, the church, the body of Christ is important. There is hope. There's hope. We've looked at churches that have a structure that makes sense, structure that members can understand and embrace. That's simplify. We've looked at the reality that content really does matter. Going deep. Teaching is critical, so we must go deep in our study of God's Word. Today, we looked at the attitude of essential churches. Essential churches believe they can make a difference, and they believe their members can make a difference, so they expect them to do so. Next week, we're going to wrap this study up by looking at a critical aspect of essential churches. Essential churches are not stagnant. You know what stagnant is? Stagnant's that water that has the green stuff floating on it, and the West Nile virus mosquitoes are breeding in it. That's stagnant. And it's not healthy. That's not healthy, is it? I mean, how many of you want to go down there and dip your cup in there and take a big old swig of that stuff? No, it's not healthy. Essential churches, healthy churches, are not stagnant. They don't just care for their own. They're not inwardly focused. But you'll have to come next week to catch this. Next week we're going to talk about multiplying. Not how we multiply as to another church, but how we multiply within the church. With numbers, yes, but that's not really specifically what we're talking about. We're talking about reaching people for Christ. Teaching people the difference that Jesus can make in their lives. And how easy that is to fall in love. Kendra, the phrase from camp that Kendra talked about in her testimony here a few weeks back has been roaming through my mind all the time. The preacher, he said, you want to start a conversation with somebody? Try this. When they just ask you if they ask you something about you, you just tell them, I'm in love with another man. Guys, if this works really good for guys, okay? I'm having a love affair with another man. I'd love to tell you all about it. But wait a minute. Then go on and say that man is Jesus, and okay? You don't leave him hanging like that, because I saw Ed back there going, whoa, I'm not sure this is still the church for us, honey. Don't leave him hanging like that. You know, tell him, and that man is Jesus. And here's why I love him and how I can make a difference. Now, guys, let me tell you. I overcame that barrier a long time ago, but I had a barrier there one time. To say I was in love with a man, another man, a dude. Come on now. I mean, that's, you know, when the Bible talks about the relationship of the church to Christ as a relationship of a marriage, that we're the bride of Christ. Ladies, y'all can understand that. Y'all can understand that a little bit better, okay? But for us, as guys, sometimes we have a hard time making that association. But when you experience it, when you have that collision, when you have that impact with him, he makes it very clear that it's unlike any other relationship you've ever known. Maybe you don't know what that's like. Maybe you don't even understand how a relationship with Jesus can change your life. I would love to talk with you about that. Show you through some scripture how Jesus can change lives, how he has the power to infiltrate and change everything about you and your understanding of him. I'd love to do that with you. And maybe you could enter into a personal relationship with Christ of your own from the inside out. Maybe you've been wearing a relationship on the outside and there's really been nothing on the inside. And maybe you're ready this morning to say, I'm ready to shuck this costume off and I want to get real from the inside out. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know, I've done that. But I've been wearing other costumes because I've been ashamed. I don't want people to know about it. Or maybe you're wrapped up in other things, maybe work even, or play or something else is taking priority. And today's the day you're going to say, you know what? I am going to answer the call. Just like the disciples in the early church were, I'm ready to step up and be devoted. Because church is essential in my life. I need it. I have to have it. And I'm willing to commit. And I'm willing to live up to the expectations that are placed upon me as a Christian. Whatever your situation may be, let me encourage you. Just like the youth learned this week, when there's an intersection with you and Christ, when there's a collision, when there's an impact, you walk away different. Maybe your bumper's dragging. Maybe your headlights are out. But you walk away different. Let me encourage you today. If you've had an encounter with Christ, be changed. Be different. Allow him to change you. It's not something you can do. You can't change yourself. You can't fix yourself. Jesus Christ can. If you'll encounter him and allow him to change you, Oh, you'll never look back. You'll never look back. We're going to stand and we're going to sing a song of invitation. I would encourage you this morning that if God has spoken to you, respond to Him. The Word of God demands a response. What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with this message today? Let me encourage you to respond.